Hey everybody, welcome to the Sportsmanlike Conduct podcast. So this is Tuesday, April 2nd, talking NBA. We're going to be talking some baseball after the opening day weekend is wrapped up. And, you know, just now we're getting closer to the NFL draft. Can't wait to dive into that more as that has that commences and stuff. I feel like I hear the draft stuff changing every week. Seems like people moving up down and over there. So I can't wait to kind of dive more into that NBA. A little bit of news there. Just as lately, I mean, Mavericks have been kind of, you know, last week I know I talked to MVP talk and everything like that. I made the case why I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be the MVP. Now Dallas is worked their way up a little bit. Still, they won 7 in a row. Luka Doncic has been out of his mind. Dallas plays again tonight, and they play against Golden State. In Golden State, they are slight favorites, and they have a very favorable schedule going forward because after they play Golden State, here's their slate. They play the Hawks again, Golden State again. The Rockets, who they just absolutely beat into the ground, the Hornets, the Heat, Pistons, and then Thunder. And in that final game of the Thunder, they might be resting people. Like, it's not inconceivable that they could win. They could just rally off those next 8. The thing is now, could they move into the 4 seed where the Clippers have won 3 in a row, but they still have been struggling. They have not been the team that not that they were in the beginning, but in like that little from like December to January run where they looked like they were unbeatable. The Clippers tonight play the Kings. The Kings are in a must-win situation. Kawhi Leonard is out tonight for the Clippers, and the Kings are missing Malik Monk. So right now, both these teams hurting and they're kind of limping into the playoffs. The Kings don't look as good as they were last year, which is big news for them. I mean, I think more people were expecting them to make a bigger push this year. It's just really hard with how loaded the West has been. But again, for the Clippers, I mean, they play the Kings, which they could easily lose tonight. They play the Nuggets, which they could easily lose. Then they play the Jazz, the Cavs, where they could lose. And then they play the Suns back-to-back. Again, the Suns are in a must-win scenario. I feel like they are every night. I cannot guess the Suns team. I'm just like, I feel like whenever I think I know that they're doing good, they seem to turn the page. They're kind of like the Bucks, in my opinion. Anyway, so they play the Suns back-to-back. They play the Jazz and the Rockets. Depending on how close the Rockets could get up to the Lakers and Golden State there, I mean, I wonder if that's going to be a must-win for them. And then maybe the Clippers are playing themselves out of that top four. You know, I mean, again, for Dallas, it's like the only thing they're kind of playing for. Because, again, the Pelicans are right there. Like, it's the Pelicans, the Kings, the Suns. They're all, like, within a game and a half each other. So it's, like, it's really important for the Clippers to try to really stay afloat because the Clippers could easily fall from 4 to 7 pretty quick. And although, you know, depending on who lands in the 3 to 4, but like the Timberwolves are still without a Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not sure when he's supposed to come back. I know Embiid's supposed to be coming back here pretty soon. And that's kind of crazy because the Sixers are the 8th seed right now. And depending on who plays the Sixers, if the Sixers could somehow fall into the, that 7th seed from the after the play-in, that could get really interesting because then it could be Bucks Sixers in the round one. We'll see. Again, 7-8 games remaining here. But Dallas and, you know, actually Embiid's returning tonight. I just got that update right now. Embiid is going to participate in pregame warm-ups, and the final decision will be made after that. What a time for him to come back again to play his way into shape these next 7-8 games. Probably be playing about 20 minutes a game, but they're pretty much in the playoffs anyway. There's no threat from the 9-10. But anyways, again, the Mavericks and what they have done. I really think that I really think that they can rally and pull this and pull it off. I mean, the Mavericks, they are going to be a bigger threat than what I thought. I thought this team was going to be sort of like those Suns team. I was just like, just don't know what they are with them and Kyrie and Luka and all that. But Luka is by far up there with Jokic and I'll put Jokic there, Curry. I guess just them three. Who else am I missing? And I'm talking about just in the West. I'll include Anthony Edwards in there. I would say LeBron, but I think he's like, just I don't think he has that in him anymore. I think he'll have it in for a game or maybe two games, but I don't know about a whole series. But guys that you just don't want to see in the playoffs. And Luka is just as much as one of those guys as Jokic. I mean, it's them two, and then kind of the rest of the field, I feel like. But definitely kind of like right behind them. I mean, if Kawhi could be healthy and play a whole series, then he'll definitely be up there. Anthony Edwards is also another guy I just don't want to see in a 7-game series, especially if Towns is there and they're in full force. Although we saw what they did last year when they played the Nuggets, but just a different team this year though. And still, that the top remaining seeds in the West, you got the Thunder and Nuggets right there, only separated by half a game apart. And the Timberwolves are only a game back of each of the Thunder and a half a game back of the Nuggets. So it's super close still. I mean, any of those teams could still grab the one seed with 7-8 games remaining. Just congrats to the Thunder. I know I think I've been on their bandwagon all year. Have so much future bets locked up in them. They're over for the year and all this stuff. And just love the way SGA's played. And I know they have a solid team around him, but man, like for how young that team is, that's why I think he's the MVP. I mean, that team, I don't think they're going to be able to pull off a. Maybe they could go to the Western Finals. I don't think they'll be able to go to the finals, but man, if they could get there, that'd be pretty awesome. But again, the West, again, being fully loaded, and the Rockets chasing the Warriors. They're two games behind the Warriors right now. But Warriors, they still have a little tough slate coming up. Mentioned two games against the Mavericks, where the Mavericks are looking to win both those games. We'll see. Let's see who else do they play. Warriors still in a bit of trouble. So they play the Rockets. Both those teams are in a must, again, chasing each other pretty much. The Warriors are trying to keep ground on them. So they play Mavericks, then at Houston, at Dallas. Then they get a break and they play the Jazz. They play the Lakers, where the Lakers are looking to still keep that nine, trying to get into the AC there. Then they play the Trailblazers, Pelicans, and Jazz. So a little easier road for Golden State there. For the Rockets, I don't know what their schedule is like, pulling it up right now. But they play Timberwolves tonight. Timberwolves are, of course, in a must-win. At their Golden State, then they have the Heat, Mavericks, Magic. Ooh. Then they close it out with Jazz, Trailblazers, Clippers. So Soma Jackson, no team has locked up anything. That's why the West is so much so much more entertaining this year than the East, where the Celtics have pretty much locked up the East, a month ago. And right behind them is the Bucks at 47-27. Cavs, Knicks. Oh man, the Magic. Sort of the Magic having this run kind of like the Thunder, although the Thunder are a little bit better, but the Magic have this pretty awesome defense, and they're a team that you just don't want to play in the playoffs either. Another team right behind them, the Pacers, the Heat, the 76ers, the Bulls, and the Hawks. Wonder if the Heat are going to be able to turn it on like they did the last few years. I wonder, I just wonder. I mean, of course, you still don't want to play them, but God, and the Bulls and the Hawks, just get them out of there, please. I mean, the Bulls are one of those teams. I just don't understand what the heck they're doing as a franchise. But the Pacers, that's another team where you're just like, look at them, like, wow. I don't want to play them either. If you're the Celtics, you want to play the Pacers in a 7-game series? I mean, I think the Celtics will still win, but God, man, that'd be a battle. The same with the Bucks. Do you think the Pacers could beat the Bucks in a 7-game series? Same, I think they beat the Cavs. I think they beat the Knicks. It would not be surprising if they're like one of those sleeper teams to actually kind of get there, get in the Eastern Conference Finals. I really think it's kind of wide open. And with the way the Celtics played all year, I know they have the record, and they're up there and they've had these big margins over team. But man, when it comes to crunch time, you just don't know what that team is going to look like. And yeah, I mean, other big news, I mean, in the NBA, it's like nothing really. I just want to get to the playoffs already. I feel like for the NBA, I feel like the month of March is like, with all the March Madness and stuff going on, and even March Madness in both women's and men, it's just been so entertaining that like the NBA has just kind of been on a back burner. And for me, it's like, yeah, here we go, baseball. Like, super excited with all this. So, anyways, diving into MLB, we had a great opening weekend in baseball. A lot of crazy things come from it. The Yankees being 5-0, as again, I'm recording this Tuesday. They beat the runners up for the championship last year, the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday. They go against them again tonight, going against Zach Allen. But the big surprise, Yankees being 5-0, just did not. I thought the Yankees would be right around 2-3 right now, especially without Gerrit Cole. So it's been kind of impressive, and it's been all Juan Soto. I did not think that Juan Soto could be this guy. I mean. And when I say be this guy, I didn't think that he was going to start off this hot, be throwing out people at the plate, hitting 500. It has been remarkable, like with the impact that Juan Soto has had on this Yankee team. Of course, we all know he's great. It's just there was just something in San Diego that he was just missing. He obviously had a very slow first half last year and picked it up in the second half, but. Man, to see him what he's is to help this Yankee team do. It's especially without their main starter. And I don't know, Gerrit Cole is on the 60-day IL, but who knows when he's gonna come back. He might be out the whole year. Let's see, what else has been a big surprise? The Blue Jays are not. Bo Bichette's hurt, and their offense is very lackluster outside of Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero. There's not a whole lot with this team. And I believe they will be sellers at the trade deadline. The Red Sox, 3-2. Maybe they are something more than we thought. They did a few trades. They also lost their who was supposed to be their opening day starter going into the year. Drawing a blank on his name right now, but my God. With the Red Sox, they've looked really good. They're on a West Coast road trip right now. They wrapped up three against the Mariners and going three against Oakland before heading to Boston for their opening day there in Boston. Let's see, Red Sox lose a starter. God, I forgot his name already. Who did they lose? Lucas Giolito. God, I could not think of his name. Wasn't expecting a whole lot from Giolito, but still. They did lose him after hoping that he would help kind of solidify the rotation. But Alex Cora, still one of the best managers in baseball, knows how to pull strings and get the most out of his guys. So not surprising that he's going to get this Red Sox team to at least overachieve and maybe see what they do at the deadline. Baltimore, their offense, they won on a walk-off last night, 6-4, helped actually. I had their minus 1.5 run line, and that walk-off 2-run homer helped save me like $40. But yeah, one on that. Baltimore, just expect this team to score a lot of runs all year. I still can't believe their over-under was like 84 at the start of the year after they added Corbin Burns, who in his debut with them had 11 Ks, which is unbelievable. This Orioles team is still waiting to call up Jackson Holliday. They're going to get even better at the end of the year. I still think they're gonna have the most wins all of baseball. I expect them to add another starter. Let's see, moving on from the AL East, the AL Central right now, the Twins are taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers are winning right now. One thing about this division, Tigers are 4-0. Although they are playing the Mets, and I think they played the White Sox to start there, with the Tigers being 4-0. I don't expect it to last long, but maybe their rotation's deep enough to where they can. I just don't see it with them going all year. But I mean, they aren't a winnable division. Like, I'm not a big fan of the Twins, and seeing these guys stay healthy. Like, you're asking Carlos Correa to stay healthy when he's sort of had injuries the last few years. Royce Lewis, that guy's never healthy. And Byron Buxton, don't get me started on him. That guy's never healthy either. So their top three bats who are dealing with injuries all the time to stay healthy. Just don't expect a whole lot from them. And I just don't trust their starting pitching as well either. Cleveland, 3-2 to start with. I trust Cleveland a little bit more. Although Tristan McKenzie got roughed up last night. A guy who I thought was going to be their ace going into this year. Obviously, he did not have the opening day start. But this guy has ace-like stuff. And I expect a little bit out of them. And I expect them to win the division. Kansas City Royals, 1-3. A little bit slower to start than what they anticipated. Although they did go. They are going up against Baltimore right now. Forgot who they played in their opening day weekend. But they are 1-3. Again, I think they were hoping to start off a little bit better. That's right. They lost the Twins. Kansas City is still a long way to go. White Sox 0-4. We all expected it. You guys stink. AL West, Rangers 3-1 and scoring runs. Rangers, that offense, regardless of their pitching, they are going to be up there all year in that win standing, because they are going to be scoring runs, and good luck other teams being able to outscore them with that offense. Mariners 3-2. One thing with the Mariners is things are going to click right for them. It's going to be Julio Rodriguez leading the way, and kind of just hoping that those starters really pick it up for them, because they're not going to get a whole lot of other production from other areas. Angels 2-2, big shocker. They are ahead of the Astros right now. Who would have thought the Astros would start off 0-4? I know they had a no hitter last night, but who would have thought that the Astros would have started off 0-4. Of course, they played the Yankees. The Yankees beat them the first four games. And the Yankees trailed in one of those games, like, I think it was like 4-0 or something like that. And they came back. And crazy. Yankees swept the Astros at home in Houston. But let's see. Going there, I expect the Astros to pick it up. They got Framber Valdez on the mound tonight. So I think they'll be there. Angels, good luck. You guys are going to be towards the bottom there. I'm not going to say they're with the A's, who are 1-4. The A's and the White Sox, two worst teams in all of baseball. NL East, here we go. Or should I say the NL East? Braves, 3-1. Phillies, who played the Braves, 1-3. And the Phillies, just, man. The Phillies, I expected more. I expected to be the other way around, to be honest. I thought the Phillies were going to own the Braves this weekend. Nope. Braves is top bats. Whatever you want to say, Michael Harris, Ronald Acuna, Olsen, Riley, just all those guys. Albies, man, they are good. Wow. Phillies, you guys stink right now. Just I know you guys were able to get that eke win out against the Braves, but, man, I was at least expecting you guys to split the series. Nationals stink, 1-3. The Mets even stink. My Mets, even worse. Come on, Jeff McNeil, don't be a baby. Reese Hoskins, after all that happened on Friday, came out and killed the Mets. After McNeil got mad at Hoskins for oversliding, apparently, which he didn't overslide. He did everything that you want them to do. And anyways, that sort of fueled the Brewers, and the Brewers end up sweeping the Mets. Then the Mets lose yesterday in extra innings. They were tied going to extra 0-0, and then the Tigers scored 5 straight runs on them. And, yep, that was history. The Mets cannot – I do not anticipate the Mets getting any come-from-behind victories this year. This team is just this team is pathetic, and I need to do a podcast on them, just talking about how bad this Mets team is going to be all year. I had a little bit of faith going into them this year, just because I thought some of our young guys like Brett Beatty and Francisco Alvarez would be able to lead this team. But Francisco Lindor and Brandon Nimmo are hitting below 100 right now. Nimmo's hitting .077. Lindor is hitting .083. Pete Alonso's hitting .364, which I love, because great job, Pete Alonso. Keep doing this, because you will be traded before the deadline, buddy. Jeff McNeil, you better get your average up. .091 for him. God, man. Those are our top three or four guys right there, hitting below 100. Just unbelievable. McNeil, I think you will be traded as well. Starling Marte, I hope you keep it up as well. This year three for you. I think you'll be traded for some prospects. And I think the Mets are going to mail it in early. I think they will be one of the worst teams in baseball. They will probably be contending with the Nationals for the worst record in the NL East. But even a worse team than the Mets, the Miami Marlins, just unbelievable. The Marlins, who lost four straight, or who got swept by the Tigers and lost again yesterday, they are not looking good. This team will be major sellers at the deadline. They have a lot to load, including Jesus Luzardo, who is, I guess, their ace. They have a lot of good young pitching. Who would have thought that they would be 0-5? Their lineup's not very good. Luis Arraez, I can't imagine he'll be traded as well, along with some other guys. But this team is going nowhere besides into the tanker. And there's only one thing that worse than being a Mets fan is being a Marlins fan around, because at least as a Mets fan, they have a pretty good loaded farm system. Going to the NL Central, which is probably going to be one of the more competitive divisions in baseball. Again, right now you have the Brewers 3-0, about to be 4-0 possibly. But the Pirates lead it 5-0, the Pirates. And I know the Pirates, they played the Marlins, and yesterday they played, the Nationals. So they're playing two of the worst five teams in baseball. But again, they're scoring runs. They're doing everything you want them to do. And again, you beat the bad teams. They could keep this up and get Paul Skenes up in the organization come May, and they could be over 500. This is going to be a very scary team, because that offense is going to score runs, just like the Reds. Reds 3-1 right now. Reds are going to be scoring a lot of runs. They have pretty solid pitching for the most part. Like them, I know the Cubs and the Cardinals, they're behind. Cubs are 2-2. Cardinals are 2-3. Cardinals just came off a really tough series against the Dodgers. And right now they're having a tough series against the Padres right now. So two teams, or that whole division is just, I think they're going to flip-flop all year. I think there will be lead changes many different times this year, because I think all five of those teams are really good, and I think maybe each of them are like a piece away. It's just going to see who, come August, where they will be at in the standings. NL West, Dodgers, just dominant. They score runs. If you placed that bet for Mookie Betts last week, I hope you did. Got it at plus +650, because it's dropped significantly now. Him and Acuna now are tied at plus +500. For MVP, and Betts has four homers already. Just leading with RBIs, and that guy's just going to be a monster all year, barring any injuries. Dodgers 5-2, Diamondbacks 3-2. Diamondbacks had a 14-run inning against the Rockies. Man, how do you score? It's a record for any runs, for most runs scored in an inning, which is unbelievable. The Rockies, God, you guys stink too. Yeah, yep, you guys are worse than the Mets. So the Mets are probably the sixth worst team in baseball. Good job. Diamondbacks 3-2. Their pitching is solid. They had Brandon Pfaadt go out there and deliver a quality start. Miro Kelly and Gallen, wow, those guys lead the way. And this team has prospects to call up, and they will be making moves. I thought the Padres, I expect a little bit more out of the Padres. They're 3-4 right now. Although them and the Giants just went up against each other. So the one thing about the Padres is it seems like the same thing from last year. Runners in scoring position, losing close games. And I mean, they just couldn't score any runs against the Giants. That was their thing. And I know they had a series against they played two games against the Dodgers already. They finished 1-1 in that. But I mean, they lost 2 or 3 to the Giants, and they lost last night to the Cardinals. So I know they have a tough schedule so far, but still, I was expecting them to at least kind of come out stronger than they have. I'm a little worried about them, and especially with their starter rotation. Musgrove got lit up again by the Giants in his first outing. So hopefully he has a bounce back start. Giants 2-3. I think the Giants, look, they got their butt whooped against the Dodgers yesterday. I haven't they haven't gotten Blake Snell yet to start. I think Snell starts next Monday. I think he's going to join the team because he wasn't ready for the start of the season after he signed, I think, week before the season started. But I mean, once they get him going and stuff, man, I expect the Giants team to kind of take off. One player, a former Met, Michael Conforto, hit his third blast the other day. I'm like, man, God, we could sure use Conforto. But then he won. It was like 20 something million a year. Because Scott Boras is his client. It's like, man, it cost him a lot of money. I liked Conforto when he played for the Mets. I never wanted him to leave. Just stinks because now he's it took him a few years though to rake. So Conforto, I'm rooting for you. I hope you stay healthy all year. You are a good Met and a good hitter. But again, some of the stuff looking at for tomorrow's games, because this podcast will be up later today, and all the odds and stuff will be out. Anyways, I was looking at some of the odds for tomorrow games, going by the starters, and barring any crazy injuries, if anything happens today, one game that I'm just already like already is Corbin Burns on the mound against the Royals, and I know the Royals have Cole Reagans going out there. I just trust Corbin Burns more. And it's juiced on the money line at -160 for Baltimore right now. If you could go get that, it's an early start game tomorrow too, 10 a.m. start. But I love Corbin Burns going out there. And then let's see, the next one that I really liked as well, and I just kind of like the over in this game. It's the sorry, not the over. Yeah, it's the over. Pablo Sandoval and AJ Puk going out there for as the Angels and the Marlins, and this is a 10 a.m. start game too. Both pitchers have an ERA north of 15 in this game, and the over under is 8.5. I like the over there. And it's not just because of just reading the ERAs. I watch this Marlins team, and I watch their bullpen. They give up a crap load of runs, and they are able to score some runs too. I saw them score some runs. The Angels don't have that great of a bullpen either. I like the over in this game. And there was one more game here that I just liked. Well, the Braves are going up against the White Sox. Spencer Strider is going to be on the mound for them. That line is just going to be like -300. Even if you get it at the -1.5 run line, I think this would be like -150. I'm just going to stay away from that. I don't like it when it gets that juiced on that minus 1.5 run line. Let's see, because it's baseball and weird stuff just happens. There was one other game that I liked. Oh yeah, it was the Cardinals and the Padres. I'm expecting Musgrove to bounce back from his horrid start against the Dodgers, or sorry, against the Giants, as they play the Cardinals tomorrow. This is a 1 o'clock game. Musgrove is on the mound for the Padres, and again, I'm just expecting a bounce back start from him. I don't think he's going to go out there. His ERA is like 9.72 right now. He'll be better. And I like them. Money line is -150. Again, those are the games that I like. I would go out there and play some nice little wagers on those. Those games are for April 3rd. I am recording this on April 2nd. And hope you guys all enjoyed this edition of the show. I will be back on here later in the week. And please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. Leave me a rating and a review. And I will see you guys all next time.